Good evening and welcome to our evening gospel service coming to you from Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. I want to welcome you in the Saviour's name to our online broadcast this evening. It is our prayer that wherever you are, wherever you're tuning in from, that the Lord will richly bless you again this evening. Just a couple of announcements. Let me once again announce to you our online Bible club for children in the week to come, commencing Monday night at 7 p.m. And each night, Monday through to Friday, we encourage you to tune in to either Facebook or to our YouTube channel. And there for the children, we'll be looking at the life of George Mueller. We learn some Bible verses, singing some choruses, and also quizzes as well. So we do invite you, and we do encourage you even to share it and to let other children know about these services. Now we're going to commence our evening service and our evening time together with our sister Sarah Fleming playing to us on the piano. We want to thank her for recording this piece for us. I want to thank Sarah for playing that beautiful piece for us on the piano, and certainly it's been a blessing to our hearts this evening. Let's just have a word of prayer at this time as we look to the Lord even for his blessing upon our gathering and our coming together tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee this night for the opportunity once again to come around thy precious word and to spend this time even in worship and in praise of thee. We thank thee, O God, for who thou art. We thank thee for ever revealing thyself to us in Scripture. We thank thee, O God, that from the start in the book of Genesis right through to the end of the Scriptures in the book of Revelation, O Lord, thou hast shown thyself to us. We do acknowledge this night that thou art a God of love, but we do also realize, and we see it so clearly, that thou art a holy and a just God. Lord, we thank thee for the righteousness of God. We thank thee, O God, for thy holiness. And Lord, we do acknowledge that we are poor and needy sinners, and we can never reach thy standard or reach thy holiness. But Lord, we thank thee for Christ coming down and even reaching down and even saving us from our sins. We thank thee for our Saviour, the one who gave himself upon the cross on our behalf. We do rejoice that he died for our sin, but he is risen for our justification. We thank thee now that he lives in that power of an endless life. He lives even there, seated at thy right hand, making intercession on our behalf. And oh, what a blessing to know that one day our Saviour will return back down through the clouds. And we believe, O God, that day is coming. We believe, O God, that thy Son will return. And he is not coming back as a babe to be laid in a manger, but rather he is coming back as King and as Judge. And Father, even in these days in which we live, We do pray that whilst we are still in the day of grace, that men and women, boys and girls, will turn from their sin and will prepare to meet their God. Even as our sister has just prayed, may men and women, O God, turn their eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. Lord, bless us again this evening as we read thy word. Bless in the preaching part of the service, O that hearts will be touched, that men and women will turn from their sin and put their faith and trust in Christ. Remember all of the efforts of this church. We think of this week to come. We think, O God, of the Children's Bible Club online. We pray for thy blessing to be upon it. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless and even use these meetings and use these efforts for the honour and for the glory of King Jesus. And even through it, the boys and girls and mums and dads as well will be reached with the gospel and will be gloriously saved. Undertake for us this night, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to read some verses again this evening from Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 2. Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 2, if you were joining in this morning or even watching in this afternoon on the broadcast, you'll know that we came to Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and we considered godly parents in relation to Joseph and to Mary. But we want to return to this passage again this evening, and we want to read the verses again, Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and commencing at the verse number 40. Luke's Gospel chapter 2, commencing at the verse 40, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter together. The Word of God says, "And the child grew, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favour with God and man." Amen. And may God write his own blessing upon the reading of his precious and his infallible word. Just before we come to the preaching part of the service, we're now going to have our sister Kirsty McMullen sing a solo piece to us. Thank you.
Have I oft hid my face while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place? Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Storm passes. Satan whispers, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow skies. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes.
I want to thank our sister Kirsten for ministering to us in song. I do pray that the Lord will richly bless that peace to each and to every heart. Let's have our Bibles open once again, Luke's Gospel chapter 2. And we're wanting to consider tonight the topic, even from these verses, missing Christ. Missing Christ. Let's have a moment's prayer just before we come to consider God's word. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee with thy word open. And Lord, it is our prayer that thou will come and minister to each and to every heart even now. That thou will prepare us, O God, for thy word. Thou will make our hearts ready and receptive to it. And Lord, that thy precious word will find that resting place in each and every heart. Lord, we pray for the saved, for the backslider, and for the unsaved alike. That thou would have, Lord, mercy upon them. Lord, that they will hear thy speaking voice this night, each one. And Lord, that the word will be applied as it needs to be applied. That sinners will be brought to salvation. That backsliders will be restored to the family of God. And thy children will grow in grace and in the things of the Lord. Be near to us now and bless us. Pour out thy spirit upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen. One of the worst situations that a parent could ever find themselves in is if their child were to go missing. Whether it be in a public place or even from the garden or from the home, for a parent to turn round and to find that their child is not there, it causes great worry and great upset, both to the child and also to the parent. I can remember on one occasion whenever I was very young, we were down as a family in the town of Corain. We were in a shopping centre. And somehow I got separated from mum and dad. And I can remember looking up and down the aisle of that particular shopping centre, and I couldn't see my parents anywhere, and I became very concerned and very upset. I remember coming to one of the shop attendants and asking them, And so they took me up to the till and they took me to the customer services area. And then they put it on the loudspeaker saying that a young boy had been found. Now, thankfully, my parents did return to pick me up. They didn't take the opportunity just to leave me behind. But I can remember the joy, I can remember the happiness and that peace and that relief even that came over me as a young boy whenever I looked up and I saw my father coming around the corner of that aisle and even coming to pick me up. You know, this passage which we're looking at again this evening, we looked at it this morning and we looked in relation to godly parents, but tonight we come back to it again. This is the one brief glimpse that we have in Scripture of the childhood of Jesus Christ. We know much about his birth and we know much about his incarnation and coming into this world as a child, being laid in the manger and the wise men coming to visit even after that time. And we know much of his ministry after the age from 30 up to 33, but his childhood, his teenage years, there's a veil, there's a blanket as it were, is put over them. And this is the only time in all of his childhood and teenage years that it's pulled back. And we actually see something of what the Lord's life consisted of at that time. But there, tonight, we want to look at this time. And whilst we looked at the godly parents and that example that they gave even this morning, yet we come this evening to consider a time of sadness. Time also of spiritual dereliction in the lives of Joseph and of Mary. These two people, Joseph and Mary, were given the responsibility and the charge of raising the child Jesus, of watching out for him, of protecting him, of keeping him safe even, and providing for all of his needs. And yet on this particular occasion, they fail. For them, it's not simply a physical dereliction of duty, but rather, I believe, a spiritual one as well. And sadly today, many are missing Christ. Young and old alike, for various reasons, are missing the blessing that there is in having Christ in your life. Let me say very clearly, men and women that are listening, and boys and girls as well, if you have not Christ in your life, if you're missing Christ, if there is that void in your life up to this point, then let me say this very clearly, you're missing out in the very best. You're missing out in the blessing that there is in having Christ in your life. I want to look at this topic this evening, missing Christ. And I want to present to you four points of consideration. I want you to see firstly in the verse number 43, their decision. Their decision. The verse 43, it says, "And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his Mary, or Joseph and his mother knew not of it." Joseph and Mary at this time had attended the feast and observed all that took place in the temple in the city of Jerusalem. But immediately upon the ending of that feast, immediately they leave. It was a wonderful time in Jerusalem. It was a high point in the year. It always was the feast, and especially the feast of the Passover. It was a perfect, a special time in the life of the Jew, a special time in the religion of Judaism. And here at this time, they gathered together with friends, with family, and with other people from across Israel. And they gathered together to give thanks and to give praise for all that the Lord had done in the past for the Israelites in Egypt. And they were there. A high time in the year, they enjoyed it. But once the days had passed, once that time of the feast had come to an end, my, look at the hurry to get home. Look how quickly they left. Very quickly the roads were full, and it wasn't just Joseph and Mary. So many of the other people as well. All of them took that journey, took that decision. We will leave immediately. We've had a wonderful time. We've had great blessing. But immediately the first opportunity that we can to leave, we're going to take it. And very quickly the noise in the air, the hustle bustle is all there. And getting back to normal lives is now the priority. Mary and Joseph are no different from everyone else at that time. They get their things together and they too leave the city. And yet there, as we read in the verse 43, it tells us that they returned, but the Lord Jesus tarried. Christ was present at that feast. This was a very special time because not only were they remembering the feast of the Passover, but here the very actual presence of the Lord Jesus Christ was there. And Christ was there in the midst of that feast. Christ was there the entire time with Joseph and Mary. They enjoyed not only the blessing, the praise, the thanksgiving, they enjoyed the actual presence of Christ with them. And yet when Christ tarried, they left. You know, it's an awful attitude which has crept into both saved and unsaved alike. That men and women today can't wait to get away from the worship of the Lord. That men and women today will, if they come to the house of the Lord and if it goes past the 1 hour mark, then they start to get itchy. They start to get restless in their seats. Saved and unsaved alike will sit for hours watching TV. They'll go and spend hours out. We're out and about and spending time at friends' house and whatever else they can do. But yet if it goes longer than 1 hour in a church, there's grumbling. Christ tarried. The presence of the Lord was continuing there. They should have stayed. You know, for some it's the case that other things in life take up their time and restrict them from being in the presence of Christ, whether it be work, family, home, things that have their place, things that are legitimate reasons even within our homes and within our lives. Yes, family, work, home is important, and they're all legitimate, but they run the risk of taking us away from the blessing in the presence of Christ. You know, I think of the occasion when Christ visited the house of Mary and Martha. Luke 10, the verses 38 to 42. It's very clearly laid out for us. Mary simply stays at the feet of Christ. She never leaves his side. She spends that entire time from Christ enters into their home. She just sits down and she will not move from his side. She's clinging on to every word that he says. She's clinging on to every single part of every part of what he's saying and what he's doing in her house. And yet Martha, she's out in the kitchen. And she's prioritizing the work. Yes, she was doing something important to a certain extent. She was providing, she was making hospitality and giving hospitality to the Lord and to the disciples. But yet Mary in her work was missing out on being with Christ. Or Martha in her work was missing out on being with Christ. Mary was at his feet. You know, I think too of the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2. My, they were a hard-working church. They were a church that took their stand against the wicked and against the heresies of that day. They took their stand, they worked hard and they worked hard and they worked hard. But yet here was the problem, their work overcame their worship. And the Lord had to say to them, Revelation 2 in the verse 4, I have somewhat against thee what thou hast left. Listen to the words. Thou hast left thy first love. Brethren and sisters, men and women, remember the words of Christ. He said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you, but seek first the kingdom of God. You know, it's important to prioritize and to spend time and to decide, I will spend time with the Lord. I will tarry in his presence. You know, there's a hymn we sing, take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide with him always. What's it saying? It needs time. It's not something that you just take 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. It's not something that you just rush just to get back to what you want to do. To tarry in his presence, to decide to be in his presence is the greatest and the best decision that you can make. Let me encourage you to prioritize the spending time with the Lord in your life. Their decision. But then secondly, I want you to see as well their disaster. The verse number 44, their disaster. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. Not only did they make a bad decision, but they also made an awful assumption. An assumption which is disastrous for any man or woman to make. Mary and Joseph, they just took it for granted. Christ has been with us all week. Therefore, Christ is just going to continue with us. We've enjoyed a wonderful week here. We've enjoyed a wonderful blessing, a time of praise, a time of thanksgiving, a time of fellowship. It's been a high time in our lives. It's been a high time even within our hearts and within our faith. And it's just wonderful. And the Lord's still with us. You know, we're going home, we're making this journey, we're talking about what we've enjoyed and what we've experienced. And surely he's still here. Surely we are still walking with him and he's close by. You know, quite often after experiencing the mountaintop experiences, times of rich blessing, times of the nearness of God, Christians can end up heading for disaster. They take God for granted. They take his presence for granted. You know, Samson did that in Judges 16 and 20. Whenever he was there with Delilah, and she eventually got him to tell how that his strength was, and he revealed it to her that his strength was within his hair. She got all of his hair cut off. And then she said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. In Judges 16 and 20, he gets up and he says, I will go out as at other times before. And then it says there in Judges, he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You see, it's Spurgeon, he wrote this. Do not suppose anything about Jesus at all. Do not suppose anything about his character, his doctrine, or his work. Rather, read the Word of God and see what is revealed about him. Spurgeon even went further. He said, do not suppose him to be in your heart. My friend, never take eternal issues for granted. Never take the salvation of your soul as something that is unimportant. Never take it as something that you can just assume that you're saved. You know, there are men and women even within our land today and they just assume they're going to heaven. They just assume, because of my church attendance, because of my family, because of who I am in society or even within a church setting, surely I'm going to heaven. Never take it for granted, my friend. There's another hymn that says, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In other words, that you're firmly placed upon Christ Jesus. I wonder tonight, can you say with that steadfast assurance that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he lives within your heart? Can you say with that assurance tonight that he is with you, never to leave you? You know, that evening when Mary and Joseph stopped, and they realized that Christ wasn't there. I'm sure they said to each other, I'm sure in that moment of panic as they came together, they said, I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you. I thought maybe that he was traveling with yours. You see, in those times, and the custom was, whenever they're traveling back with their kinsfolk and acquaintances, the women walked together and the men walked together. The men would have conversations, the women would have conversations. And Mary and Joseph both just simply assumed, surely Christ is with the other. Surely everything's fine. You know, the awful reality is that there are men and women in hell tonight that thought everything was fine. There are men and women in hell tonight. It speaks of the wailing in hell. Men and women believed, I thought Christ was with me. I thought my attendance and all of my years of giving into the church, I thought that meant that Christ was with me. I never missed a meeting in church. I never missed the opportunity to go along to my church. And I thought, surely that means that I'm heading for heaven, and yet tonight they're in hell. No, whether it be the lies of a church or a high opinion of self that Christ would want them. And yet tonight, men and women's assumptions have damned them to hell forever. Oh, my friend, don't make the same mistake. But rather, tonight, make sure that Christ is with you. Be sure that your sins are forgiven. Be sure that you've been washed in His precious blood. Be sure of your eternal destination. Be as sure tonight as if you are already there that heaven is your home and you're simply passing through this world. They're a disaster. But then thirdly, I want you to see in the verse 48, their despair. Their despair. The verse 48, the end of the verse, Mary is speaking to Christ and she says, "Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." We've sought thee sorrowing. Mary herself, she testifies what it meant to both her and to Joseph when they miss Christ. She doesn't butter it up. She doesn't gloss over and say, "Oh, it was fine. We came back and we found you." She is very open. She is very honest. And she says, "Christ, we sought thee sorrowing." You know, the word sorrowing is the Greek word eudynaho. It's used only four times in the New Testament scripture. And all four of those occasions are by Dr. Luke. Three occasions in Luke's Gospel and then once in the book of Acts. We have it here, Luke chapter 2. The other two occasions in Luke's Gospel are found in Luke chapter 16. The verses 24 and 25. And on that occasion it is translated torment. Luke chapter 16, we have the account of the rich man and Lazarus. It tells us when the rich man died, he goes to hell. And he sees Father Abraham and he begins to talk to Father Abraham. And he says to Father Abraham, "I am tormented in this flame." My, what a lesson there is. What a lesson that brings to us for each and every one to learn here. Because for you to miss Christ and for you to die without Him will mean that you will spend eternity in hell. And you will spend eternity in torment and in sorrow. Mary and Joseph, for those few days, endure great heartache and sorrow. For those 3 days that it took to find the Lord Jesus Christ, it was an absolute disastrous time. A time that was filled with great despair. A time that was filled with great sorrow. And yea, even with torment within them. All because of their assumption and their dereliction from Christ. You know, for those 3 days, they never had peace. For those 3 days, they never had any joy. For those 3 days, they never had any contentment. And they went, first of all, it tells us, they went to their kinsfolk, the verse 44, they went to their acquaintances, they went round their family, and they went round their friends, and they asked those questions, "Have you seen the Lord? Have you seen Jesus? Do you know where He is? We cannot find Him." None of them could help. None of them could ease their suffering or their sorrow. My friend, that's the reality tonight. There is no one who can help you in your spiritual state apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one that can give you peace and joy and contentment apart from Christ. That is why we are here tonight. Not to say that we can do anything, but to simply point you to Jesus and to say Christ is the answer. And Christ will give you peace. Christ will give you joy. Christ will give you an everlasting peace and joy that passeth all understanding. My friend, tonight you miss Christ. There is no one in this life that can give you peace or contentment. You die without Christ. Like the rich man testified in Luke 16:24, you will be tormented in the flame forever. You know, it's impossible to overemphasize the magnitude of what it means to miss Christ. You miss Christ, you miss the cross. You miss the cross, you miss salvation. Because neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. You miss salvation, you miss hell. Or you miss heaven, you're heading for hell. And oh, the sorrow. Oh, the sorrow that there is ending up in an eternity without Christ. Oh, what despair. But I want you to see, fourthly and finally, not only their decision, their disaster, their despair. The verses 44 and 45, I want you to see their determination. Their determination. Verse 44, it says, at the end of it, they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And then in verse 45, it says, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now when Joseph and Mary realized Christ was not with them, they immediately set about looking for him. They determined within their hearts, we must find Christ. We cannot simply go on home. We cannot simply just leave it and make our way back to Nazareth. We must find him. And so they began. They searched amongst their own people, their kin, their friends. None of them could help, and so they went back further. They retraced their steps. They went that path back to Jerusalem. And for 3 days it took them to find him. And eventually, after going around Jerusalem, they came to the temple, and it was there that they found Christ. They never gave up until they found him. My friend, if you're not saved tonight, that is exactly what you need to do. You need to set aside everything to find Christ. There is nothing more important than your soul. There is nothing more important than the salvation of it. You need to determine within your heart, I must find Christ. I must get to him. Jeremiah 29, verse 13, it says, ye shall seek me, and listen to this, and find me. When ye shall search for me with all your heart. Mary and Joseph, they searched earnestly. They put their all into it. Regardless of what it meant to their time, regardless of what it meant to getting back to work and all of those other things, and even leaving their friends to continue that journey on their own, Mary and Joseph turned back and they said, no, we must find Christ. They searched earnestly, and even as we've already seen, they searched sorrowfully. They realized that they were wrong. They realized that they had failed the Lord by their actions. They had abandoned him. They had turned their backs on Christ. They had went in the opposite direction. Christ was tarrying. Christ was in the house. And yet they said, no, we're going. When they realized their fault and their failure, they were broken over it. You know, before you can ever be united with Christ, there must be a sorrowing over sin. And there must be a repenting of it. You cannot still love your sin and yet have a love for Christ. It's impossible. You cannot serve God and mammon. You're either going to be serving one or the other. And for you to turn and for you to trust in Christ and for your love to be there for Christ and for you to search with him for all your heart, there has to be a turning away from sin. There has to be a rejection of it. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, it says, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. You want to be united with Christ. You want to be saved by the Lord. You need to turn from your sin. You need to repent of it. And there in the temple, after a period of sorrowing and searching, they are united with Christ. Oh, that you tonight, men and women, boys and girls, wherever you are, that this would be the night when you would find the Savior. If you're not saved, you've spent your life doing as you saw fit, And yet tonight, if you're honest and you say before the Lord, I am missing out. I've tried all of the pleasures. I've tried the things of the world. Nothing is giving me peace and joy. Up until this point, I've had nothing to do with the Lord. I've had nothing to do with Christ. And yet tonight you realize this world can't offer me anything. I need Christ. Oh, that you would search for him, because even as we've already said, Jeremiah 29, it says there, when ye shall seek me, ye shall find me. There's a promise in that. And whenever you search for the Lord with all your heart, you will find him. Call unto me, I will answer thee. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. In other words, when they call out for the Lord hears them and the Lord answers them. Oh, my friend, tonight, don't miss out on Christ. Realize tonight that if you don't have him, be honest before God. If you've never asked the Lord to save you, if you've never asked the Lord to come into your heart, if you've never asked the Lord to take over your life, to be king of your life, to be Lord in your life, if you've never confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Lord, my friend, that tonight would be the night when you find him. And you would search for him. That you would find Christ. And I can promise you this, you find Christ, you'll find the very best that there is. There is no one better. There's no one that I could highly recommend other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You can try everything in this world if you so desire. If you think, no, this here and that there, A, B, C is going to help me and it's going to be so much better, let me tell you this. There is nothing and no one that is better than Christ. You want lasting joy, you want lasting peace in your life, you come to Christ. You come and experience the love and the salvation that he offers. Well, Mary and Joseph, they came. They returned to that temple and they found him there. And do you notice the words of verse 51? When they came searching and sorrowing for him, when they found him, do you see the words of verse 51? Then he went down with them. After that point, they made sure the whole journey home, Christ is with them. They never simply said, oh, he's probably with the father, or he's with the mother, or he's with somebody else. No, he went with them. They knew exactly where he was. He was there. They were in his presence. Oh, my friend, tonight, be sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds, and it grips a solid rock, Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, O God, even for the spiritual lessons which we can learn from this passage. And O God in heaven, we realize that there are many within our world and even within our land tonight. And they believe and they just think and they assume, O Christ is here and Christ will accept me and Christ will never reject me. O Father, we pray that men and women will be very sure tonight. That they will not simply assume, but rather that they will know with that full assurance that they are the Lord's and the Lord is theirs. And they're as sure of a home in heaven as if they're already there. Oh, Father, we pray for salvation to come. We pray that the Spirit of God will work in hearts and work in lives. That men and women will not simply go through life with a flippant attitude even towards the things of the gospel and the things of salvation, but rather that they will turn from their sin and put their faith and trust in Christ. Bless each one, we pray thee. Even now as the voice of man grows silent, we pray that the Spirit of God will work on for the honor and for the glory of King Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.